Hey there. We at Blue Wire just wanted to take a second to thank you for listening to this podcast. We know everything outside is pretty scary and uncertain, but we're committed to helping you get through your day by talking about the sports and teams that you love most. If you're looking for more great podcasts to distract you, check out BlueWirePods.com. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the podcast and stay safe.
We are excited to know where we're going to be playing and excited to have a city that is excited about having us.
Once you're a Raider, you're always a Raider, no matter what city.
We are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of Vegas Nation, where we bring you up to date on all things happening with the Raiders. We got your fast takes here and smart coverage. We are presented to you by Favor, drinkafavor.com. I'm your host, Heidi Fang, joined with our Raiders beat writer, Vinny Bonsignor, our Review Journal sports columnist, Ed Graney, and NFL reporter, amongst other things, Adam Hill. And I say other things because this man's in Jacksonville right now, where the UFC is going to host an event starting May 9th. Actually, a few events, but that's a whole other story. We'll get into that on another podcast called the RJ Ringside. And if you want to check out all the other podcasts like that, head over to reviewjournal.com/podcast, where you'll find everything that we do on the web here with the podcast, and subscribe to this show wherever you are listening. You can also keep up with us by downloading the Vegas Nation app and also heading over to VegasNation.com, where we keep you up with all of our content, videos and articles. Everything is there. Drop us a comment while you're out there. We love hearing from you guys. In fact, I just did a poll with all the Raider fans out there and asked them their opinion on the opponents that they're looking forward to most as we get ready for the NFL schedule release here as we speak right now. It's about 12:45 p.m. here on the West Coast on a Thursday. So the schedule due out by the Raiders end at around 4:30 local time. And we will have you guys covered with a show there. We're also doing shows on Cox Your View, Channel 14. So you'll want to keep up with all of that with the Raiders. And it's called the Vegas Nation Blitz. We're also going to hear from Amik Robertson. So this show is jam-packed. From your own Cassie Soto, had the chance to speak with him about becoming a Raider. So we'll air that interview as well. But let's go ahead and get into the schedule and what we know about some of the opponents while we're waiting. Vinny, we heard already, week two, Monday Night Football, Raiders set on the primetime schedule at Allegiant. That'll reportedly, as of right now, be the home opener. Week one, we're expecting the Raiders to go into Carolina to face the Panthers. So when they get back here, Monday Night Football, that I think is what's really going to excite Las Vegas. What do you have for us on that?
I think obviously the NFL wants to really promote and put out on the national stage and primetime stage their two new stadiums, Allegiant Stadium, obviously in Las Vegas, and also SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Don't be surprised if you see SoFi Stadium playing into the primetime schedule on opening weekend. And for the Raiders, it would have been nice that they opened up opening weekend in Las Vegas, but I think this is the next best thing, between what the Saints bring to the table, obviously what the Raiders are starting to bring to the table, and the backdrop of Las Vegas, and everything that has to offer. I think it's going to be a spectacular night, keeping our fingers crossed that everything works out and that there's actually fans there and this game goes on, with the COVID-19 as the backdrop. But also it's letting you know, too, and from what I understand, I think Las Vegas is going to figure prominently on the primetime stage this year. It kind of tells you what the NFL thinks about this market, about Las Vegas, about Allegiant Stadium, about the Raiders too, and their viability as a primetime draw. So I think that Las Vegas is going to be featured pretty prominently on the national stage this year.
So Adam, you're our doomsday prophet. Do you think the NFL season happens to come to us on time this year? I mean, and is that why kind of the NFL is preparing to have these opponents that are interconference to play against each other to kind of start off the season?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there was reporting out there that they were going to do a whole bunch of those games early in the year, and it doesn't really seem to be coming to fruition. I do believe that the NFL is going to start on time. I just don't believe there's going to be fans there. So, I think we'll see week one football, and we'll see the NFL kick off. It just, in my mind, it's just pure opinion. I think, you know, usually the schedule day represents a day when everybody in the whole country that's football fan starts booking their travel. Hey, what's that one road game I want to go to see my team? I think that's a different day today because I don't think a lot of people have confidence that they're going to be able to go to those games.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing about this new stadium that we have here in the desert is that it's a gorgeous, beautiful, state-of-the-art stadium. And right now, we don't know if we're going to be able to fill that stadium with bodies in the beginning of the season here for football. So that's going to be something that we're going to have to keep on top of as things go. Though I'm hearing that the governor is going to reopen Las Vegas here a little bit early.
Hold on. Not the whole city. Starting phase one.
He was talking about that they're supposed to be reopening some part of it. Yeah, I don't know what part, but I know that they are considering what they're doing at the Stadium Essential. They're taking off those screens on the lanai doors. So, I mean, as we start to see the progress happen, you know, it's something that we can start to look at and think, well, is this going to be a good or bad thing for this city? Because, I mean, Ed, when you start to think about it and everything that's happening with coronavirus, I mean, is it a little too soon, in your opinion, to start the process? Should we kind of hold off? I mean, I'm not the governor, so I can't make that call. But I mean, what do you think about the fact that they're going to start this process?
Well, I mean, in terms of, you know, he's been very cautious, Governor Sisolak. Eventually, they're going to have to start with phase one and see how it goes. Look, the cases rise, you know, the deaths rise across the country. I think there's a balance at some point that you have to look at. In terms of the economy and where it could put us, but you know, you have to go safety and health first. I'm not surprised he's going phase one. I think he'll go phase one and he'll take a breath and then look how it goes. Maybe phase one is the hotel at Lake Las Vegas and nothing else because there might be like, you know, three people. So, you know, phase one, I think, is one of those phases where there's not gonna be a ton of people there. You know, they'll just look at it, they'll pause. And, you know, you're right about Allegiant Stadium. I think everyone wants people there. I'm in total agreement with Adam. I think they're going to play an NFL season and to start with no people there. You know, and is it going to be a great look for Allegiant? Of course not. Everyone wants to see a full Allegiant Stadium with the lanai doors. But, you know, the NFL is going to play their season because of the TV. And I don't think they'd ever like put that in peril, the TV money. But I think Adam's straight on. I can't believe the NFL, as much as they'd love to have fans, would be a league that would come out and say, we're having everyone in there. That would really give a perception that they did not care about safe and healthy. I don't think they'll do that, but they are going to play that schedule. I'll be shocked if you know, we don't see the Raiders as we believe to be in Carolina on opening weekend.
Well, let me throw this in there. Let me throw this in there right now, just because it's breaking. And I think there's a lot of context we still need to figure out from this, but I think there might be a pathway like in the last 10 seconds to, you know, leagues maybe having an opening because Donald Trump has just spoken about leagues and sports. And he said he wants to push some coronavirus liability protection because, quote, you go to a game and you sue the team owner. That's just not right. So it seems like if they are able to at least get some protections for stadiums and for teams. And again, this is like the last 10 seconds, and this is just something he said, not necessarily, you know, a policy that's been, you know, invoked, but he seems to be pushing in this direction. And I think if the leagues are able to get that kind of protection where people can come in at their own risk and not have the ability to sue about it, that could change the thinking some. I don't think it necessarily totally shifts the thinking, but it is probably progress for those that want to see fans at games.
So the NFL, Roger Goodell, the commissioner, put out a multi-tiered plan for getting the league back on track. And part of that begins with phase one. So as we start to see some of the cities move to reopen, it's also going to happen here with some of the NFL facilities. It's looking like May 15th is going to be that date. And we're going to find out more about this as it progresses, of course. So, I guess as of right now, there really isn't much more to say besides that we know that this is something that is a positive. If the facilities start to reopen, then things can start to get underway a lot, I guess, more smoothly for a lot of the teams, being that right now everything's been virtual. I imagine they would keep the virtual plans in place. But Vinny, have you heard anything from the Raiders about possibly reopening on May 15th?
Yeah, you know, as far as the reopening, I think that they're starting to at least think about that and, you know, putting plans in place to make that happen as soon as they possibly can. But there's going to be a whole bunch of stipulations and guidelines and people that are involved in deciding when this can actually happen. And when it does happen, there's going to be strict protocols and guidelines to adhere to. And keep in mind, all of this is predicated on all 32 teams, getting the okay from their local and state government officials to make this happen. If only one team out of the 32 does not get that consent, then all 32 have to remain closed. But, you know, you're talking about the clubs have to implement all of the operational guidelines that the NFL is putting forth. They have to acquire all of the adequate amounts of needed supplies, to deal with COVID-19. Initially, clubs may permit up to 50% of non-player employees. That would be a total of 75 people that are allowed back into the facility, provided that, you know, it allows for implementation of all of the protocols. So it's a very, very detailed and deep, set of guidelines and criteria. First, just to get them open, but then secondly, to keep them open and operational at a safe level, with players coming in and out. So, they're going to try to get all that. All the teams have to get all of this in place, report back to the NFL in the middle of May. And then decisions will start being made on when and if these facilities can get open.
All right, so let's start getting into some of what we do know here about the schedule. Week one, the Panthers, if this all rings true, and then week two, Monday Night Football at Allegiant. We also know about a couple of other games. October 4th, Buffalo Bills, that'll happen at Allegiant. And then the Broncos at Allegiant. Sunday Night Football is what I'm hearing, November 15th. Ed, so far, I mean, the word is, the Raiders have kind of a tougher schedule when you look at the strength of schedule as compared to others. What do you make so far of what the Raiders, what we're seeing with just a fourth of the schedule with dates and times and all in place and travel?
Well, let's be honest about the opener. Obviously, as Adam told us earlier, Miles Simmons has a lot to do with it. So we have to see him. He just left us. He's not working for Carolina. So I don't know why we have to see him that soon. But look, if Brady wasn't going to open it, Breeze is the next best option. So I really like the second week. It's a Monday night game. It'll be prime time. I think that's a great game for him. I think everyone would have preferred Brady just because of the offseason and with Brady, but Breeze is not a bad second option. I'd like to know who week three is because, at Carolina, I think it's a winnable game. They're going to have to deal with McCaffrey, and all of a sudden we'll see how good those new linebackers are for the Raiders because, that kid in space is going to be difficult. But I think that's a winnable game. If you can get that one and come back, I mean, New Orleans, a lot of people are picking them to go to the Super Bowl, but you have them, maybe you, like Benny said, maybe there is a jacked up crowd in the Allegiant Stadium. You can feed off that, excitement and juice and who knows what will happen to that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm interested in more games. I want to see when they play Kansas City. I really want to see what cold weather games there are. I mean, the facts are the facts. Derek Carr has not played well in cold weather. So, is it New England in December? Is it the Jets in December? I mean, you're going to have to look at where he goes later in the year to figure it out. But I think second week with Breeze is really cool. I think that's a really good home opener.
Adam, when you look over the numbers right now, I guess some of the betting odds are projecting the Raiders to have an over-under on wins of 7.5. Do you take the over there? You take the under so far when you look over what you think about the toughness of their schedule, the strength of schedule, and what the Raiders have ahead of them this season?
Well, one of the things I like to tell people that are into betting on futures and betting in general is you don't always have to bet every single thing. I think that number is just about right. I think they're a, 7-8 win team, maybe 9, maybe 6, but I think that is right in the area that they are. So if you don't see any value, I think you stay away. To me, part of that comes down to I think they're going to be a significantly better team than they were last year. But you also have to take into account that I think the Chargers and Broncos are also much, much better than they were last year. That makes the division much, much harder. And I think you can be a much improved team and still have the same record. And I don't think a lot of people kind of understand that concept or grasp that. But that's just the case. So, other teams make improvements too, and other teams try to get better. That's just right around where I think they're going to be, though.
All right. So let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we'll keep going here on the strength of schedule. We're also going to hear from Amik Robertson. So stay tuned right here on the Vegas Nation podcast.
They say a healthy gut means a healthy you. Favor apple cider vinegar shots bottle this feeling into the convenience of a 2-ounce shot. Better digestion, stronger immune system, and the lowering of blood sugar levels are all just some of the benefits to shooting a daily Favor shot. Their proprietary blends are raw and organic and mixed with other functional ingredients to create a better tasting experience. First-time shooters can go to drinkafavor.com.
Welcome back to the Vegas Nation podcast. It's Heidi Fang, Vinny Bonsignor, Ed Graney, and Adam Hill. And as promised, what we have for you right here at the top here of this segment is an interview with Amik Robertson, who will be joining the Raiders this coming season. He is so fired up to join this team. This guy, he really has, I think, the right mindset when you look at what you want when you're building a team culture and trying to get people that the team can rally around. Well, I think definitely from what I've heard in this interview with Cassie Soto, Amik Robertson has all that fire. He's got all of those things. Let's see if he could put it together here on the field when it comes to be time for him to get out there on the gridiron. So let's go ahead hear from Amik Robertson, who spoke with Cassie Soto. It starts out here talking about what it was like getting the call from John Gruden on being a Raider.
It was a wonderful moment, man. You know, it was a lot of, you know, I was so nervous about the call, thinking I wouldn't get the call. But after talking to him, man, it was it's a feeling I couldn't even explain. You know, just hearing his voice, man, that's a moment I'll never forget. You know, it's a moment I'll never forget.
Well, did you know that the Raiders were interested in you at that point?
I honestly didn't. My agent had all, you know, he always talked about me. I mean, he always talked to me and told me that they were interested. But I talked to him a couple times, probably like twice, but it wasn't a lot, you know, a lot. Probably like five times. I didn't only talk to him twice. So when I got the call from John Gruden, it was like it was shocking. You know, like John Gruden is just called my phone. And like I said, man, it was just a wonderful feeling. It was just a wonderful feeling.
Well, after you were drafted, Amik, you said that the Raiders got the best DB in this year's draft class. Why did you say that? Why are you just so confident in yourself that you can be the guy the Raiders truly need?
I'm a confident person because I work hard. You know, I work harder than everybody. You know, the only thing is I wasn't blessed with, man, was the height. You know, I was blessed with talent, the work ethic, you know, and I'm a guy that they can really depend on. I just can't wait to show the organization that it didn't make a mistake.
Yeah, well, fans obviously didn't get to see you on the field at this year's Combine because of an ongoing groin injury that you were suffering and working through. How are you feeling now? What's the recovery process been like for you?
I told John Gruden, asked me how I feel. I said, man, coach, I'm ready to play. You know, when they asked me, you know, from a scale, I tell them I'm not 100%. Then they kind of paused, like, what? I'm like, I'm not 100%. I'm 120%. If we was to have a game tomorrow, Robinson would be 100. Robinson would be flying around the field like nothing happens.
Well, for fans who really do want to get to know you, Amik, how would you describe the kind of person you are off of the field?
A very, you know, genuine guy, you know, a guy, like I said, that you can depend on, that you can count on, team player, you know, like I said, I love my family, love, you know, a family guy, love being around my family because they bought me, you know, they helped me get to where I'm at, not where I'm at today. So, like I said, man, I'm a great person overall, you know, and like I said before, a guy that y'all can depend on.
Yeah, well, I recently spoke to Tanner Muse, one of your other draft class guys there, and he's never been to Vegas. Have you ever been to Vegas?
I have never been to Vegas, never been to Vegas. My mom and my dad is like, you know, stay away from the casinos. I'm like, nah, this is strictly business. You know, I'm all focused. I'm not worried about the bright lights and the, like I said, I'm ready to play. I understand this is a business. This is, like I said, I'm ready to play. I'm ready to play.
All right. Well, besides the bright lights, though, I got to ask you, what are you most excited to see? Allegiant Stadium's probably up there, but there's got to be something about Las Vegas you can't wait to see.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, I would say my number one would be the stadium. I just can't wait to see the stadium and my teammates as well. You know, the practice facility. I just can't wait to get to the facility and get to work because I would live there. Like, I would live there. I would probably never go home. You know, I would live there.
Well, you say it right there. You can't wait to meet your teammates. In these weird virtual times, are you doing Zoom or Skype calls with your teammates? How is that kind of working to get you integrated into the Raiders organization?
Well, I've been, you know, interacting with John Abram, made him close, you know, made him go way, way back, you know, just trying to kind of catch him up because the rookies haven't really started the virtual meetings yet. But, you know, coaches are looking forward to us. Like, look, like, I think they recall the virtual meetings and they send it to us and we just go over it like we are in the meeting. But it's basically something they already went over. So, you know, I just go over that a lot. And, I mean, it's been helping me a lot. You know, guys like John Abram has been helping me as well.
Anybody you're excited to meet on your team?
Derek Carr. Man, the energy he called me after the draft. After the draft, man, he called me. He was like, you know, you're a great football player. I'm ready to play with you. You know, you're a guy that I can tell love the game. You're passionate, you know, and I can hear in his voice he loved the game as well. So guys like that, man, you love to play with.
Well, final ones for you here, Amik. What's a fun fact about you or a hidden talent that you have?
Fun fact about Amik Robertson would definitely be my name is my mom's name spelled backwards. Her name is Kima. My name is Amik, so it's spelled backwards. That's a fun fact.
When you aren't playing football, what can fans find you doing?
That's hard because everything I do evolves around. I would say being with my family. I would definitely say being. I wouldn't say work because I work out a lot, but I would say if I was to say, look, man, today is going to be my off day, I would say, yeah, spend time with my son and my family because they're very important to me.
Again, that was Amik Robertson, Raiders cornerback, who joined us here with Cassie Soto on the show. You can catch the full interview on Cox Your View, Channel 14. We had that episode air just yesterday with Amik, so the full thing is now up. You can head to VegasNation.com to check that out. But as I said earlier on in the show, I took to Twitter today and I spoke with some of the fans about what they're looking forward to most opponent-wise when it comes to this season with the Raiders. And the consensus, wouldn't you know it, is really the Chiefs. Everybody's looking forward to the Chiefs and seeing if this is the year that the Derek Carr can get that past the Chiefs. It's been his biggest hurdle, it seems, that he has just been struggling with, especially in Arrowhead. Derek Carr has had a 2-10 record against the Chiefs, but not in Arrowhead. So that is something I think the fans mean here when they say the Chiefs, the Chiefs, the Chiefs. Tampa Bay, I think, comes in second when you look over at the Biff Tanners. Great name, by the way. Great handle. He says, I'd love to see KC early this year. We'd have to kick them in the mouth, so earlier the better. Tampa Bay on Monday Night Football. Let's do that. I don't know if that'll happen, but that was just one of the tweets that I got out there from Raider Nation. So I wanted to get your guys' take on whether or not this is the year that Derek Carr can go into Arrowhead and really get this done and get over that hump. That seems to be the biggest thing when it comes down to criticism of Derek Carr. Vinny, you wrote about Derek Carr and how the Raiders have stuck with him through everything. But Ed, first I want to go to you and get your take on what Carr, as far as getting into Arrowhead and winning, would need to do.
Well, I actually think it's the other side of the line. I mean, look, first you have to see when they play there. Because again, you can't hide the fact when it's under 50 degrees, he's lost the last 10 games. The team has, but he's been the quarterback. So you got to see when they play there. Let's say they play there, though, when it's, you know, good weather and strong weather. I think they're good enough offensively to score, mid-20s, whatever. Their issue is going to be, can they stop the other quarterback? And so he could actually go there, depending on the year, and play really well, and they could lose 42-30. I mean, their issue with the Chiefs is they have to stop that quarterback. I mean, they can maybe score more because I think the Raiders definitely are better offensively this year. I don't think it has to do with Derek Carr. And maybe if the weather's good, you know, weather's bad, you play that into it. The issue with the Chiefs is the quarterback. And if you can't stop Mahomes, then you can play really well on offense and it won't matter. So when I think of the Chiefs, especially in Arrowhead, I go to the other side of the line and say, you better play defense or somewhat of a defense, or it doesn't matter how good Derek Carr plays or not.
Vinny, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think that, obviously you want to chase down, the kings of your division, and the Chiefs aren't just the kings of the AFC West, they're the kings of the AFC Conference and the National Football League, they're the Super Bowl champions. And I think that is noble, to want to close that gap, and the Raiders are trying to do that. But I think more importantly than that is dealing with, the 30 other teams in the National Football League, starting with the Denver Broncos, and the Los Angeles Chargers in your own division. Try to set yourself up as that preeminent second place team in the AFC West. Get into the playoffs. Beat those two teams. Beat everybody else. Deal with everyone else in the AFC. Those are the teams that you're dealing with and competing against to get to the playoffs. And the teams that you're playing in the NFC South this year. So take care of business in that regard. Eventually, that gap will start closing between the Raiders and the Chiefs. But I think it's a little too soon to start thinking about beating them. Of course, you want to win when you play them, but I mean, overtaking them and being the best team in the AFC West, that's great to think like that. But more realistically, the Raiders have to take another step before getting to that point, and that's dealing with everyone else in their division.
Just to throw this in, I just texted a sportsbook director in Vegas and asked, what's the line, Raiders at Chiefs? And he told me probably 14. So traditionally, that's about, I think, about 11% of 14-point underdogs win in the NFL, but the actual win probability is somewhere around 4%. So, yeah, sure, they can win. Absolutely, they could. Anybody can win in the NFL, but that'll be, you know, among the bigger point spreads you'll see this season.
That's three.
Go ahead, Ed.
I was just going to say, that's three people saying very simply, and thanks for the tweet, it will be very hard to kick them in the head.
You mentioned the cold weather there. That's something the Carr's obviously struggled with. He still has yet to win when kickoff is under 40 degrees. So that's something to keep note of when we look at the schedule. But for today, that'll do it for us here, because we are going to come back tomorrow with another episode in the morning to break down the full schedule that the Raiders have when we know the release. So we're going to get going here just so that we can get all prepared, because we have another show coming at you with Cox Your View Channel 14, and that one being pretty much a full breakdown of the schedule as well. So we've got everything here on Vegas Nation that you need. So head over to VegasNation.com, download the Vegas Nation app, and also make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you are listening. We appreciate everybody out there for keeping this podcast growing. I mean, lately the numbers have just been amazing. With so many new listeners, and we love having all of you guys here with us. So for Vinny Bonsignor, Ed Graney, and Adam Hill, we appreciate everybody for listening. We'll be back soon.